They're coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America as we kick off the last week at Saratoga. Hard to believe. Wednesday morning, a beautiful morning here at Saratoga. We'll keep our fingers crossed that the weather holds throughout the afternoon because a nice card scheduled. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the program. A little bit later on, Jack Knowlton will join us. Tis the law. May take the funny side route along here. A nice win up at Saratoga to break the maiden in the career debut, and maybe going to the Bond Guard down at Belmont in the next start. That was the path Funnyside started to get his career going. He broke his maiden down at Belmont, but subsequently went in the Bond Guard. But Tis the Law looking pretty good for Saratoga and Jack Knowlton. We'll talk about that and more in a few. Later on, Andy Serling will make an appearance here on Racing Across America. Looking forward to some thoughts from Andy on the meet in general, but also on this afternoon's card as well. And speaking of this afternoon's card, the last jump race. And as always on a Wednesday, that means a visit from either Sean or Joe Clancy this morning. It's Sean. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
We were talking a little bit before we went on the air. We always talk a little Saratoga special as well. You and Joe, Tom Law and the team putting out the Saratoga special throughout the race meet. Again, hats off. And since it's the last appearance, I will for the fans. Thank you for, again, great coverage throughout the meet. Talk a little bit about the meet so far with the Saratoga special and what's coming up this week and when do you wrap it up for the season?
Well, I thought we've had a good meet. I mean, it's been a little bit longer, so that was a little bit tricky just to get kind of going. I thought everything was a little slow to get started here. I think everybody was felt that way. But the paper's good. We have four more issues, just digital only. We're only just so we don't print this week, but digital only, so you can get that at thisishorseracing.com. You can print it right out or look on an iPad or iPhone or computer. So we wrap up Sunday, four more issues. We're on the downward slide, right?
And I saw my man John Chapazian. I was on the backstretch Sunday, and he walked by, he tapped me from behind and said, who do you like in this race? I turn around, Chapazian. I'm like, who do you like in this race?
Exactly.
Chapazian, if you don't follow, very solid on the handicapping side. He's having another great meet. I keep saying, I think I'm doing okay. And I look at him, he's like, nah, every day it's another winner or half a winner ahead. And he's, I'm at 95 today. And I think when I saw him at the backstretch, he was already like 108 or something.
Yeah, he's pretty strong. He's consistent. I think he almost like simplifies it where he just comes up with the winner instead of, I think a lot of his overthink stuff, he doesn't overthink it. He's got a very systematic way of doing it and comes up with a lot of winners.
And you say the last issue is Sunday, picks or regardless whether you print an issue or not, if you go to This Is Horse Racing, the selectors have
We'll do picks on obviously Sunday, Monday, wrap up on Monday. It's gonna be a little tricky. The digital will be a little different, but it's we just kind of looking at it like can't just keep I can't keep increasing our print bill as the meet gets longer. But it's same thing. It'll be exactly like the special. Just you have to do it on your computer or your phone.
Yeah, and if folks haven't done it, I do it at home a lot. You pull it up, nice PDF edition, reads just like the paper. You pull it up on your, and these days it's so easy to do that. Pull it up on your computer, your tablet, your phone.
Exactly.
And, catch it that way.
Yeah, I went out Sunday morning after the Travers, and Shug McGahee and Bill Farish are standing there after the Travers, and I went and handed the paper, and Shug took his, and Bill Farish said, "I read this in bed."
Yeah, there you go. 21st century,
yeah,
baby.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about, speaking of last Saturday, and let's take a look at the stretch run of the Travers. Code of Honor, the number 2. Tacitus, the number 6. Mucho Gusto, 7. Endorsed, the number 11, runs 4th. Owendale, My Horse, the number 1. Just gets nipped by Endorsed for the fourth place spot. Owendale winds up fifth. But a nice performance by Code of Honor coming out of the Dwyer. Everybody thought this horse was a little bit of a player. The workout reports were very good and gets it done in here. What were your thoughts for the Travers?
I just loved him. I thought he'd win. I watched the race with Shug McGehee, which is always my try to handicap the race and try to watch it with the winner. So I watched it with Shug. He's got a pole that he kind of stands next to. And of course, watching race with Shug, he absolutely doesn't make. He's emotionless watching it. Doesn't make a sound. Doesn't root. Doesn't move anything. And so as I was like, I need something for the story. And he finally walked down the back steps and he turned. He said, "That was fun to watch," which I like that. It was pretty good. But I love this horse. I just think he's got the most beautiful, efficient stride. He's kind of still getting better, as I think a lot of the other horses are kind of reached their. Maybe seen their best days as far as, you know, how much they're going to improve. Shug, the way he trains, everybody kind of knows who's still getting there. And, you know, I talked to Shug about it. He's like, you know, we've had some bumps in the road, and I said, but maybe wouldn't be here if he didn't have those, you know. So,
oh, like, well.
You know, he only ran a one Triple Crown race. I mean, if he wins the Derby, you got to come back in the Preakness and maybe hammer him into the Belmont. So, you know, I think some of those races, you know, you hadn't quite moved forward, you know, and it just wasn't quite there in the spring, but. You know, he's obviously there in the Travers. I talked to John Velasquez, too. I mean, Johnny had a good comment. He said he's just a little bit of a slow learner. And as, you know, he's just a little bit, he always liked the horse. He said, that's why I'm still on him. You know, Johnny has choices, so he's ridden the horse pretty much his whole career. And he's just a little bit of a slow learner, but he's getting there. And that was before the race, so obviously he's learned. And I thought it was a great performance.
Would you agree? I mentioned Sunday. I think he's now firmly in the discussion for a three-year-old Eclipse. I mean, obviously Maximum Security in the lead at this sure. point, but given that he missed this race, we'll see what he does. But, you know, if Code of Honor beats Older in a Grade One in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, as I say, I think he's in the conversation.
Yeah, I think he's definitely in the conversation. And again, I think he does have the potential to keep moving forward. I mean, there's horses that you see him trained by trainers who, you know, when they win the Travers, they might not necessarily improve off the Travers. But I think this horse, the way he's trained, the way he's been developed, the way when you talk to Johnny and Shug about being a little bit of a slow learner and they've taken their time. You know, one race from the Kentucky Derby to the Travers, he had one race, which obviously works. He wins the Dwyer, comes here. He still has a chance to move forward.
Talk about the day in general. You mentioned John Velasquez. He had a great day, obviously. Puts the Travers on his resume for the season and a couple other nice stakes races. But Matoli rebounds, Come Dancing, looked great for Carlos Martin. Midnight Bijou and a late was a ding-dong battle. What were your thoughts overall on Saturday?
It's just a great day of racing. I mean, I just thought the battles, the late Midnight Bijou was just like, you know, everything you want in a race. And they about middle of the turn, you're just like, okay, here we go. You know, the gloves are off and they're throwing it down. And I love Elaine. You know, I was always disappointed to see her lose, but the other fillies was deserving. I mean, she ran a great race. Two really, really great mares. Fun to see them run like that. I thought that was brilliant. Matoli, cool to see him come back. I mean, he kind of erased that first one that, you know, everything was pointing the wrong direction. The first one comes back and rebounds. Thought he was impressive. Sword Dancer was a good race. Annals of Time. Sadler's Joy. I'm a big Sadler's Joy fan, so I was kind of rooting for him at that moment. But, you know, it was just Mind Control was great. I mean, it's just a brilliant day of racing. I mean, it's like almost you sit there. You just can't believe every half an hour you're going to get these kind of stars right in front of you. So certainly didn't disappoint. It lived up to his expectations. And various, you know, Carlos Martin wins a Grade One on Travers Day. That's brilliant. I mean, Guy, you know, he's a little guy around here. You know, he doesn't have that many nights. You know, have a big, strong stable, but he gets Come Dance and run like that on the day. Great trainer performance. You know, I think the whole day was like that. Yeah, a little bit of everything, top to the bottom. And
Greg Sacco and his brother Rick for the Brunetti
really
family.
Cool, right? Exactly. You know, that's really cool. Yeah. That they, you know, they, and that for the finish of that race was unbelievable. Yeah. Watching it, so it's cool. I mean, just the drama of it all is just look. That's why we love this game.
You know? And that may be. I think I said on the earlier show, right after the Whitney and McKinsey, I said the racing's been great so far, and it's continued. They're really the horses you wanted stepped up and ran very well, and I think, as I say, that's been kind of the overarching story of the meet. The racing's been great.
Yeah, for sure, and that's why, like you said, that's why we like it here. That's why we come here. You want those kind of moments, and you know, as good as a late would have been, it would have been fun to see her just lope along and win by five. But to see that throwdown that they had, and you know, it's a head bob. I mean, the last strides, I didn't even bet the race. I kind of root for a late a little, just because I guess I like her a little. Just I'm more attached to her for some reason, just on a horse base. But you know, Jeff Bloom wins a stake like that. He's done a great job managing that filly. Steve Asmussen as well. I talked to Steve Asmussen the day Travers morning. Steve's one of those funny guys. He gets so intense, and you kind of like know not to talk to him. And then there's other times you get the sense like he's just like totally relaxed and wants to talk. So stood on the rail Saturday morning about 8 o'clock, Travers morning. He's just standing there by himself, and I just kind of wandered up and started chatting. And our big Travers issue was finished. I was handing it out. And I think his big Travers kind of, you know, preparation was basically over at Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, you know. And we just stood out there and talked for probably 15 minutes about horses and different things, talking about Midnight Pursuit and Matoli. He said, you know, we're talking about the day. He said, I'm just glad I got runners all day, so I don't have to think about. I don't overthink anything. I got action all day, and it's just gonna, you know, it's just, you know. He's like, I have no idea what's gonna happen, but I just like that I got action all day, and I thought that was a good perspective from a horse trainer.
And then winds up with the nice win from Midnight BCU. Speaking of big wins, before we get to today, I wanted to go back to last week and talk about the last Grade One of the jump season. We have a jump race today, but as far as the stakes side, the New York Turf Riders, my man Jonathan Shepherd puts two Grade Ones together up here at Saratoga, winning the Smithwick with Winston C, and then we'll watch the stretch run here. Last week, the New York Turf Riders, number two, Winston C, chart margin of 8.75. And frankly, looking at the PPs coming off the Smithwick, it's a tough double to make. It doesn't happen often because of the distance, I think, the change in distance. But looking at the PPs last week, it did look like Winston C had an edge and clearly proved it through the stretch here.
Yeah, he's a good horse. You know, the thing they've changed, too, it's 4 weeks between the Smithwick and Turf Riders. I think that makes a big difference. Used to be three, so I think that helps. Really good horse. My horse, Jibber Farrow, was second in the race. So as I walked down, I thought my horse ran great, or you know, and the amount of people came to me and said, "Isn't this great for Jonathan? Oh my God, this is so great!" I'm like, "All right." I mean, it's kind of great, but you know, I was second to him. But I mean, he just that horse. He's a really good horse. Great purchase out of England. Came here, won the two races. You know, he was actually a novice before the meet. Now he's won back-to-back Grade Ones. He'll probably go strength to strength. He picked up 10 pounds. It was a 10-pound switch in weights for most of the horses there. That obviously didn't stop him. He's a little horse. I'm not sure, in the fall when they're going 2 5/8 and soft ground, if they get that at Far Hills, maybe that equals it out a little. But just a real racetrack horse, and you look at him, he's light, a little lean, kind of narrow-looking horse, but an athlete, and he just skipped around here. Awesome performance.
And your horse, Jibril Faro, coming close to that? Run second in there. What's next? Did he head to Far Hills?
Yeah, I might go to Far Hills, another stake, maybe in October. I'm not sure I want to go face Winston C again, so I got to try to. He came up here, ran twice, ran hard.
I mean, that was a good second.
I was proud of him. I'm going to need a little class relief, maybe.
And again, River D Stable, if folks are looking in the PPs, that's the nom de plume you guys go by. So we'll certainly be rooting for that one. All right, let's get some thoughts on the jump race today, the opener today, the last jump race of the Saratoga season. Hate to see them go. I always like the jump races. I went 5-3-6-2. Teodoro, who had been in flat stakes races earlier this year, tries the jumps and does very well and wins off for fun last time. And given that, I think that horse will take a lot of action. But I got to go with my man Shepherd, who ran well at Colonial last time. We're going to watch the stretch run, and it will be Heptat getting it done at Colonial over the jumps last time. And off of that race, I'm going to tilt in favor of Heptat slightly, but Teodoro, again, very interesting as well. What are your thoughts?
You're killing me here. All I keep watching is River D horses finish second. Man, I mean, can we get something? Can he cue up the 98 Turf Riders or something? No, I mean, I think you're right. Teodoro would take all the money. Good flat form, obviously racetrack horse. You know, he's even money, morning line. I think it'll probably be less than that. He was awesome in his race at Fair Hill. I'm a little concerned that they haven't run him since then. No flat prep, no, you know, didn't run an allowance race earlier in the meet. Just, you know, maybe that's not a good sign. I think 2 3/8 at least stretches it out. I mean, so, you know, one going 2 1/4 at Fair Hill, but 2 3/8 up here, 2 1/16 compared to 2 3/8 makes a big difference. So maybe he's slightly, you know, maybe that's a little bit of vulnerability. Although, I mean, he does have flat form, nice horse, but obviously no price. I was going to go, I kind of went with the other Shepherd horse, Go Get the Basil, just as a stab, a little bit of value. Thought his race up here was pretty good behind Snap Decision, who was awesome that day.
Good. Being 38 lengths, but
yeah,
he ran second.
Beat 38. Yeah, good, good sharp second. You know, he's got beat 38 lengths. And that's just a stab. I mean, you're really just trying to come up with some value. I struggled to find anything I loved in the race.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, fun way to wind up the season, which, as I say, it's a lot of fun. I like the jump races. And you and Joe have done a great job in here talking about the jump races and racing in general. As you, again, cover the entire meet with the Saratoga Special, people can catch the digital editions. This is horseracing.com through the last few days of the meet. And, again, I will, on behalf of the readers, thank you and Joe and Tom Law and the whole team for the great coverage again this year.
Yeah, look, thank you. I mean, we thank all the readers, thank this place. I mean, Saratoga in itself is just what it delivers every year. I just think this time of the year, it's the last week, you just kind of want to take a moment and appreciate how cool this town is, how brilliant the racing is, and how everybody kind of comes together and puts on this type of show and puts our sport on its best foot. I just think it's a credit to the game to come up here and enjoy it.
And we should remind people that the coverage doesn't stop with the end of the Saratoga season. This is horse racing continues
exactly,
all year
sure.
long.
Exactly.
Sean, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again on the front side next year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, Jack Knowlton will join us. Nice 2-year-old winner up here at Saratoga. We'll get an update on Tis the Law and more. Stay tuned.
Like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Wednesday morning, last week of the meet, but a little earlier in the meet, a nice first-time starter debut win, Tis the Law for Saratoga. Wanted to talk a little bit about that one and what the future may hold with owner Jack Knowlton. Jack, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Happy to have you here. We'll talk a little bit about the 2-year-old in a second, but before we do that, obviously, longtime owner and participating up here at Saratoga as well, but more importantly for the discussion I want to get to here, longtime fan. We see up there enjoying the races on a daily basis in the box seats. Talk a little bit about what are your thoughts on the extended season, the 2 days off. I will say the buzz that I've heard, I like the 2 days off. The buzz I've heard was I think people would rather take Wednesday off and go Monday, long weekend. I live here, so for me it doesn't make a difference. But what are your thoughts on the change up?
I'm hearing a lot about that. I love having 2 days off.
Yeah.
I don't have to be at the track for 2 days. Last year I made 39 days. I'm on course to make 39 days this year. So I'm here. It's wonderful, I think, for everybody. Just about everybody that I've talked to thinks it's good. But you're right. I think there's a pretty much a groundswell of opinion that Tuesday, Wednesday should be the days off. I hear that from my friends that are in the restaurant business, a hotel business. One of my friends who owns a restaurant says he's down 30% on Sunday evening. So, you know, maybe, you know, David O'Rourke and the folks at NAIRA will give that some consideration.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they tweaked it up, because that Sunday-Monday thing was something I hadn't thought about, but I think people think long weekend more Monday than Friday. But somebody brought up to me the other day, you don't want to drive down the Northway necessarily on a Sunday night because you're fighting the Lake George traffic and everything, so people will take off early on Sunday, whereas if there's racing on Monday, they hang around on Monday, and the drive down on a Monday night isn't as bad. And so I think that I hadn't even thought about that, but I'm sure that plays into it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, you know, everybody's into analytics these days. When Saratoga runs on Monday, just about nobody else in the country is running. So I would think that if you look back at, you know, the handle that they did on Mondays, probably going back and racing on Monday might be a good thing as well.
Yeah, you're the elephant in the room, certainly. I'll also ask you about another changeup this season. Are you an Empire Six player?
I've played it a couple of times. I love the Pick Five.
Okay.
I'm a real Pick Five. We play that. I partner with folks. I love the 15% takeout and the 50-cent bet. But, you know, we played it a couple times, and obviously we're going to play it again
on Monday,
Monday like everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's a fun bet. And I, you know, spend some time at Gulfstream, so I've gotten used to that bet down there. And, again, I'm a pick five player, not that pick six. There's too much money that comes out of the pool every day. That's my concern.
That's what people
they're taking 25% out and putting it into the prize pool, if you want to call it that. Plus, they're taking out, you know, the percentage. It's probably, I'm not sure what it is here, 20, 25%. So you add those two together, I don't think it's a great play, except when they have to give it away.
Yeah, there are knocks on it. I kind of like it, though, because you can put together a whale-sized ticket for a more reasonable amount of money. And I'll play down at Gulfstream. It gets up to about $500,000, because even the consolation can be, you know, $800, $1,000, $1,200
And, that's true.
And certainly Monday with the carry. Well, first we got to keep our fingers crossed it doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
It doesn't get hit. Comes to Monday, it'll be a lot of fun taking a shot at the mandatory. All right, let's get back to a little earlier in the meet. We're going to watch the stretch run. First time starter for Saratoga, Jack Knowlton and company, and Barkley Tag, the old funny side team. And Tis La Law is going to get it done. The number three horse here in the career debut, chart margin of 4.25. Talk about the race, and more importantly, talk about coming into the race and what your expectations were for the career debut before the horse hit the track.
Well, he'd worked real well in the morning. He'd had a bullet work with a companion and a minute and two fasts out of 30. He had run a 59-3 work, so we knew he had some talent. But it's a big difference what they do in the morning and what they do in
the
afternoon.
He's not doing a thing on him here.
Well, that's what's a few things that are scary good about how he ran. The first is that, you know, he got a real lesson in being a racehorse. It's not like he went to the front and stayed in the front. He was behind horses. He got dirt kicked in his face. He raced a little green in the stretch, as you can see. But once Junior got him straightened out, it was just a hand ride. And he got off him and said, you know, he didn't give me anything close to what he's got. And it turned out that, and I don't put 100% credence in buyer speed figures, but he ended up with a 90 buyer speed figure, which is the highest of any two-year-old in New York to date. So if that's right, and you know, I'm not sure that it is, but there are a couple other data points. The Equibase figure, they had 97, and you know, a couple of other horses that had gotten 84s got 92s from Equibase. So seemingly, you know, it's pretty real what they ended up giving him.
Yeah, a 90 buyer at this time of year for a two-year-old is very solid. And again, we saw it on the replay. Not Junior Alvarado wasn't doing a thing the last 16th of a mile, and he has a chart margin of just under 5 lengths. Bought this horse last year up here at the Facing Tipton Saratoga New York bred sale by Constitution. So you were kind of taking a shot on a sire who's turned out to play very well. Tiz Fizz is the dam. Nice stakes winner herself, and she's produced some winners. What were your thoughts at the sale when you looked? And hip number 311, but that's including the hips on the select sale earlier. This was fairly early in the sale. You jumped in and bought this one. What were your thoughts looking and bidding on the horse?
Well, Barkley and Robin Smullen, really kind of our bloodstock agents. They look at the horses, and We usually end up in the New York bred sale with a handful of horses that meet their criteria. We get them vetted, and this was one that they liked. The vet liked them. In order for Barclay and Robin to like them, they want to see black type on the dam side. And with Constitution, we knew he was a credible horse. He was fast. He won the Florida Derby. He won a couple of other big races down there. And we said, you know, why not take a shot? I mean, a son of Tappet has got a chance to be a good sire. And the price, that was probably the last bid we were going to make at 110. We kind of said, well, about 100, but we got him. And, same thing happened, although we didn't buy him at the sale, but, you know, Distorted Humor, it was his first crop with Funny Side. So, this guy's going to turn out, certainly based on what he's doing so far, the leading freshman sire, back and forth with Farrell as a leading sire. But he's thrown a lot of good runners, so yeah. We're real happy. This isn't just an anomaly that he's got, one good horse. There are a lot of them out there.
And again, a New York bred sale last summer up here at Saratoga. That maiden special race, I think we have the winner's circle picture with a nice big group in there. Lots of big smiles after the debut win. Give us the situation, because I talked to you the other day, and I guess he came out with a slight little ding that kept him out of potentially the hopeful. But down the road, you're looking at maybe the Funny Side trip and going in the Bond Guard down at Belmont.
Yeah, he just had a little bit of a sore shin, and we had to give him a little time, which we did. And he's back on the track, went back on the track on Sunday. And right now our target is to go to the Bond Guard. And if everything works out and we make that, and he's fine coming out of that, then I think we're going to look to Sleepy Hollow.
And as I say, kind of the Funny Side. Funny Side broke his maiden down at Belmont on September 8th. Then in the September 29th came in the Bond Guard, and he followed up in the Sleepy Hollow as well. And then laid off until the next year and came back in the Holy Bull against Open Company. So you're looking essentially early to say, but what we've seen so far, maybe the Funny Side trip.
Well, that's certainly what we hope. We buy New York breds exclusively, as you know, and one of the reasons is you get an opportunity to run against New York breds early in your career. So if all goes well, right now, kind of talking with Barclay, that would be our tentative long-range plan. Everything's subject to change, of course, but, it looks like a good path. They're nice purses, $150,000 in the Bond Guard, $250,000 in a Sleepy Hollow. So if we could get through those races, it would be great. And obviously Barclay takes his horses down to Gulfstream, and Palm Meadows would be where we'd be.
Tis the law. So we'll keep our eyes on that one. The Bond Guard comes up September 20th. So we'll look for that as potentially the next start. Let's talk about some other Saratoga runners here at the meet. Let's go back to July 31st, New York Stallion Series. Number 5, Kid is Frosty, is going to win, but Nico's Dream for Saratoga. Nice little second place finish in here. That one's turned out to be a nice runner for the Saratoga team. Coming off prior to this, a close-up second in another New York Stallion Series. So as you say, with these New York breds, you get these New York bred days, or the New York Stallion Series days, where you can run for some very decent money. And Nico's Dream, again, the number 7 horse in here, a good second just a few weeks ago up here at Saratoga. What's the game plan going forward for Nico's Dream? Because I looked, and a steady string of works since that last race.
Nico's in the 8th race on Friday.
Oh, okay, there we go.
In a first-level allowance, so we're excited.
Open Company?
No, New York
first
bred.
Okay.
First-level allowance for New York bred. She has got, she's a closer, and that wasn't firm turf. The race didn't set up for her. But hopefully we'll get some pace in this race, and she runs like she does every race. She'll be coming at the end and maybe get there this time. But she's a nice filly. She's
done well.
My
Central Banker has turned out to be a nice New York bred sire.
Absolutely. And we liked her so much, we bought her 2-year-old sister, full sister, called Adriatic Holiday. And she's being pointed to a race at Belmont on opening day on the turf, mile 16th, for New York Phillies maiden 2-year-olds. And so hopefully she got rained off the turf. We tried to start her earlier. We know she's a turf horse. She ran fourth on the dirt. She ran okay. And we wanted to give her time, not rush her. We were hoping maybe we'd get another race near the end of the meet, but opening day at Belmont should be her race.
All right, so we'll look for that one as well. And, Jack, before we let you go, obviously we have to go back and talk a little funny side, and I pulled up the stretch run here from the Kentucky Derby. And, again, we're going back a few years now, obviously. We're going back to 2003. Funny side, Kentucky Derby Preakness, third in the Belmont, third in the Haskell. Just now with the perspective of time, talk a little bit about Funny Side and the ride that horse took you guys on.
Well, it was just an incredible ride, as you can imagine. You know, we knew we had a nice horse. When we came out of the wood, he ran, you know, a real close second to Empire Maker. And we went down to Churchill believing that we had a chance and thinking we had, you know, one of the top four horses that were going down there. And then everything went right. I mean, the weather was perfect. We got the draw we wanted. We had the second choice of post positions when they did the double draw in those days. And Jose gave him the perfect ride, and it just all came together. It was tremendous. I mean, the only real regret that I have, and you couldn't have changed it, but was the fact that we ended up going to the Haskell, and it was, you know, hot and humid, and he got a cloud of mud in his eye, and we didn't get to run in the Travers. And that was probably, you know, other than not winning the Belmont and the Triple Crown, the biggest disappointment that we had with him. But, you know, we ran him, you know, five years, and just had so many great times, and won a lot of races, and had a lot of fun. And he's doing fabulous down in Kentucky Horse Park. Great ambassador for the sport. You know, he's a tourist attraction down there, and best place in the world for a horse in retirement.
Yeah, I was reading about his retirement last night down the Kentucky Horse Park. Won his last race out at the Finger Lakes, and you look at the Dominion Day up at Woodbine in 2006, the Kings Point on the state-bred side, and plenty of the Jockey Club, of course, 2000, Jockey Club, which I think all of us on the far turn, including Tom Durkin, thought, oh, he's done. He's done. And
funny,
then all of a sudden, I point to that race when people say, after a race is over, oh, that horse was never going to win. I say, well, wait a minute. Go back and look at that Jockey Club, because there's no point on that turn where you think he's going to do anything, and he comes back and wins.
Jose said afterward, I was just giving him a breather.
I like that. Jack, also last night I went, oh, and I will say the record, 11 wins and 38 starts, $3.5 million for Funny Side. That was quite some ride.
Not bad for a $22,000 purchase that we didn't make at the New York bread sale. We bought him for $75 a few months later.
That's incredible. Still have the school bus?
We'll rent one if we get there.
I like that. Very good. Again, last night I was bouncing around doing some research. The Saratoga website, Saratoga.com, great resource. People can go and follow your horses and whatnot. And if they're interested as well, they can check out, maybe become part of the partnership.
Yeah, we just bought a new yearling at the sale this year. New sire, again, Spitester, son of Spitestown. And they've been selling real well. We're real happy. And, you know, there's, you know, an awesome again mare on the bottom. So maybe we can get some, you know, distance out of that. So he's down in Ocala, and we'll see what happens with him. But you got to keep in the game.
Hey, Saratoga.com, check that out. And, again, we'll be looking for Tiz the Law, Nico's Dream, and the others. Jack, appreciate the visit. Good luck on the remainder of the meet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jack Knowlton, again, Funny Side and team, back again with Tiz the Law now. Really nice 2-year-old winner earlier in the meet. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Andy Serling will get some ideas for this afternoon and more. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouthwatering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
Yeah.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Anybody? Welcome back to Racing Across America. I did not get a countdown there. But we're back with Racing Across America on a Wednesday afternoon. And as promised earlier, joined now by Andy Serling. Andy, good morning.
I dressed like you today.
Yeah, well, I went with the seersucker. And I said at the beginning of the season, I'd only get maybe two or three. I got like six seersucker visits.
And you're proud of that?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Most wouldn't be, so I'm impressed.
Happy to have you on board. Talk a little bit about today, and we'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to today, why don't you talk a little bit about the meet overall, and we'll take a look at the stretch run of the Traverse, see Code of Honor win. Give us your thoughts on Saturday Code of Honor and performances there. And the undercard was great as well.
Yeah, no, it was a terrific day of racing. Obviously, the weather helped. It couldn't have been a better day of for racing, but... Code of Honor was sensational in here. John Velasquez, I think Johnny looked at his 3 for 60 something a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, I'm a pretty good rider. I need to step it up a little bit. He had just a great day of riding, especially on Saturday, but he's been riding very well recently. And just he got Code of Honor at the perfect spot. He got him off the inside, and he got him outside in the clear. And you watch this race a couple more times, it's pretty clear that he's going to be tough to beat at certain points. Tacitus, I think... You know, you could argue that maybe the connections have bought him a little bit of the hype, which I think is just ridiculous that he's a problem horse because he's just been an unlucky horse. And they decided to be aggressive with him. And you get a big horse like that rolling, it's tough to get him rolling and then sort of take him back. And I thought he ran very well in defeat. And I don't think there's any argument that he would have won the race. And he was the second best horse. And listen, maybe you could say, well, if he wasn't aggressive and they let Mucho Gusto go, maybe Mucho Gusto would have beaten him anyway. So I have no argument with just a change of tactics. And I think, you know, a discussion because most were surprised he tasked us in front. But as far as Code of Honor, Shug was pointing this race ever since the Kentucky Derby. Got the one good race in the Dwyer that was obviously very useful. A good race, but also very useful. Skipped the Jim Dandy, pushed all the right buttons, and 21 years after his third Travers win, he gets his fourth win and reminds people he's still a pretty darn good trainer. And Code of Honor is a really nice horse. And I think this three-year-old crop there's some good runners in here, and to think that Omaha Beach hasn't come back. I mean, Maximum Security seems to run by appointment only. Maybe we'll see a cameo by him at some point again this fall, but there's some good horses out there, and Code of Honor at this point, to me, based on his Travers, is the best we've seen.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what he does against older. It looks like Shug seemed to be tilting towards the Jockey Club. He said right after in the post-race press conference that the Pennsylvania Derby was, he was thinking about it, but it sounded more likely to go against older in the Jockey Club, so that'll be interesting. Undercard, Matoli rebounds, Midnight Bishu and a late threw down in the stretch. Come Dancing was looked great for Carlos Martin. The undercard was good as well.
Yeah, Matoli, I was thrilled to see Matoli do as well as he did. I think he's a leading contender for Horse of the Year, and he had major excuses in the Vanderbilt. He's buried down the inside, and the rail was really dead that day. And also, he was the hunted that day, and he was able to hunt in the outside in this race. And he's had a sensational year, and was this his third grade one, I think?
Yeah,
the Met, the Churchill Downs, and this. To me, he's had a super, super year, and we'll see what he does this fall. But big fan of his. Obviously, Midnight Bisou has been great. You know, you don't want to call a late loser because she lost by a sliver. She's lost some tough photos and big races up here, but she's a sensational horse as well. And that was just a great horse race. But Midnight Bisou sewn up that division. I think you can't really be a Horse of the Year without stepping outside of restricted races. But she's had that kind of campaign. I just don't think you can say a horse that's just sticking to these restricted races should be a real contender for Horse of the Year unless there's absolutely nobody. And with the Matolis and Bricks and Mortars and McKenzie, obviously.
Yeah,
but McKenzie, I think with just the one grade one, he'd have to win the Goodwood and the Breeders' Cup Classic to be a Horse of the Year. And he may well do it, as Whitney was one of the best performances, if not the best of the year. But right now, I'd say Bricks and Mortar and Matoli are the top two candidates for that. But great racing and you know, really good horses. And I thought the maiden we saw in the second race was down the inside for Mark Cassie. Got an 86 buyer. Was sensational.
Who on the turn looked done and then came back again.
That horse has got a real future. We've seen some good two-year-olds ever, including the one that Jack Knowlton, his horse you guys were just talking about. He's a runner, as a performer on the undercard for Shug, was super impressive in winning. Come Dancing, as you said. I mean, it wasn't a particularly fast race, but she didn't break. But nice to see Carlos Martin get that grade one win with a horse who, been a long struggle with that horse, but she's been very good this year. And so it was a very satisfying. Annals of Time, who is one of my favorite horses, and to think of what he's come back from. And this one was a 20-month layoff and his third extended layoff of his career.
Yeah,
his third extended layoff of his career. And second grade one, he's 5-for-8, I think, with the second and two-thirds. That was the most thrilling moment of the day because I'm just a huge fan of that horse. So it was a great day of racing.
Talk a little bit about, because I've had some of your colleagues in the Fox MSG show, which, again, I'll tip my cap to you. I catch the late-night replay often. Obviously, I'm here when you guys are live, but it's kind of fun to watch after the races and see what the opinions are when we know the results. But you guys do a great job. I had Maggie and some of the other talent in. And
a little
some of
hard because our meetings are during the show.
Back then, I was about to say, the production meetings kind of run into my show, but we're happy to get folks over here. And I've said to everybody, you guys do a great job. Just talk a little bit about, because it's been almost full card the entire meet that you guys have been on the air.
I've noticed. No, it's fun. It's a good group of people, and you know, it's been a great summer. I having the 5 days makes it so that everybody's a little less on edge. You know, I think everybody 2 days off to sort of recharge, and the shows have been fun, and I think they've been well received by people, and that's the most important thing. And I think people have contributed in a great way. I always feel bad that the people behind the scenes never get any credit. You know, I think the people in our TV truck do such a sensational job, and for every hour we work, they probably work an extra hour. And there's so much work done by so many people that you wish that there was more credit given to the people that we don't see on camera. And it's been a huge group effort by a lot of people, and it's been a fun summer. And the fact that we're coming, for me, I can't speak for the others, coming the last week, and normally with the 6 day weeks, I'm ready to be carted out of here. The last week, I can barely have a conversation. It's too much. It's like 49 straight days of work, and it's been that way since I started in IRA for over 10 straight years, 11 years of that. And now this summer to have 2 days off, I wish we were staying here until October. It's been a satisfying, fun summer.
I'm with you. The 2 days off is nice. It's an actual day off. The one day off, you're kind of
not a day
planning
off
for the next day.
Well, yeah. I mean, this weekend, because we drew the two cards on Sunday, I worked a conservative 14 hours. If it had been one day off, I'd have been a zombie. And it was. I was able to get a lot of it done on Monday and then finished it up yesterday and still had time to have lunch with Mom and do some stuff, and it was nice.
There you go. I hear you talking on the air quite a bit, not just lunch with Mom. You're doing some dinners downtown and whatnot. You've been up to Speck a couple of times.
I have. I saw Beck. I saw Tedeschi Band before the meet started. I know. Being able to go to Speck is a nice thing. You know, something that doesn't happen the last few years, last 10 years.
Let's, before we get to today, one more thing I want to touch on. That's the radio show, the last radio show tomorrow night. Chad will be on, and I pulled up a screen capture from Chad on a couple of years ago. But he's on again tomorrow night. Parting Glass, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the radio show. I tout it highly every week. I missed the last couple.
Yeah, I've been there that often. I'm a little disappointed.
No, I was there straight through the first few, but I had other things the last couple of weeks. I'll make it tomorrow. Definitely.
Good lineup tomorrow. Chad Brown's going to be on, and as you're showing, and Dale Romans is going to be on as well. And Dale is one of our absolute favorite guests. I mean, if he's the most entertaining person and interesting as well. And in racing, and Dave O'Rourke, who I imagine you've had Dave on, our CEO.
Dave and Dale so far.
And Eric Donovan, who works for me in the show and can represent the show a little bit and the behind-the-scenes people in the show. Of course, Eric and I have worked together for a long time and been friends for, Eric and I have been friends for over 20 years, going on 25 years we've known each other. And Eric does a great job for us in the TV department behind the scenes, but he also was the greatest morning line maker I can imagine in his run at NYRA. David Argona's pick of the slack.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Parting Glass, the last one. I usually get down, I have my hot turkey sandwich, enjoy the show. Like I said, I missed the last couple, but I'm curious. Last Thursday night, you didn't have a show because you were emceeing Belmont Child Care Association, with great charity, their dinner. So you moved it to Friday, and I'm curious, what was a Friday night down at the Parting Glass like?
Well, the turnout was good. I think a lot of people probably were thrown and assumed to be, but it was still a solid turnout for people coming. The show
I thought you'd have a zoo down there on a Friday
night. I think a lot of people just may not have known. So it was, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't crowded, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't overflowing with people.
There's typically a very good crowd.
Yeah. It was as good as we get, but I thought we might get a little more on a Friday Travers weekend. I think people may not have known as much, and it's hard when you've established on Thursdays. The thing was, not only did I emcee the BCCA event, which is, to me, the best event of the year because it's such a great charity, the Belmont Child Care Association, but also everybody's there. So who was I getting as guests, even if I didn't host it, right? They're all at the event, so it would have been a sparse, it would have been interviewing you and Steve Bickler there on or something. They could have found the place.
Wait, you're putting me like at the sea level then.
D. D. Don't give yourself that much credit.
We had Michael Dubb on, though, promoting, and it is great, Anna House and the Belmont Child Care Association. So I perfectly understand why the move last week to the Friday. All right, let's get to some thoughts for the Friday card. We'll start out in race number 5, 35 to 40 claimers.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Did I say Friday card? I said Friday because I was talking about
6 days of racing left. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Because I was talking
about
Friday.
Savor every moment, Seth.
Wednesday, the Wednesday card. 35 to 40 claimers, a mile on the grass. You said my horse scratched. I was going to take a shot with the Augusta.
You don't
runner.
Have to tell us why you like the 8. She scratched.
It was an Augustan runner, so I was going to jump on board, but out. So I'm 12-4-10 now. What are your thoughts?
I like the 10 O'Malley. Private purchase, trainer switched to Mike Maker, but also this horse that hasn't run on the turf since she was a 2-year-old. And while her 2-year-old form is a little slower than these, it's not bad to finish behind Dog Tag and Varanka. And I don't know what she's meaning here. I just think she's a very logical player in here. The 4 Bronco Sally, who was second best last time when she finished behind Decorated Ace, and now she draws well inside of her. I think Mike Maker's got a pretty strong hand in here. And Bellamy Nose is off the claim for Rob Attriss. So I threw that one in. And actually, Bellamy Nose, in a weaker field, ran a little better than it looks last time. I thought she had a shot at the price. They were the 3 I would use.
All right, very good. Let's move on to race number 9 this afternoon, the feature event here at Saratoga. I mentioned it on the handicapping show earlier. Catholic Boy won the With Anticipation a couple of years ago. Grade 3 event, $150,000. The 2-year-olds on the grass at 8.5 furlongs. Again, my pick scratched out. I was going to go with the maiden Eagerly. You said the 5 and the 6 when you sat down scratched out of here. So I've scratched into Our Country. What are your thoughts?
I think Our Country is the worst to beat in here and should be the favorite. Ran a super race last time, second out. I don't know where the improvement came from because this horse stunk first time out. This horse jumped up a lot, but they'll improve a lot with one start. And I think the improver was a lot more than the 8 buyer points, to be honest with you. I put Tuggle on top. I mean, I guess I thought Tuggle would be a better price than he's ultimately going to be, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he'll be favored because he's run well in the dirt, but his pedigree says turf. The dam was a turf runner. It's a point of entry, and I think Tuggle's going to wire this field. I would use the 1 and 2 here. I also have the 5 in the mix, but then I've got Andesite, the 2 on the outside is the right 2, but I think Tuggle and Our Country, the major players.
Yeah, Tuggle to me is interesting. I like that angle, a couple of sprints and stretching out in the third start. The 10th and final today, Maiden 40 Statebreds going 5.5. I took the 6 on top, Mike's Girl. You know, you don't like to
take... enough chances of short prices.
And that's exactly why you don't like to take a 9-time loser, so to speak. But I thought, seems primed to maybe move forward this afternoon.
Why?
Well, the buyer numbers are going in the right direction. I mean, I'm not jumping in with any confidence, believe me. But I do think that it's moving in the right direction. As I say, maybe primed for a better effort today.
Don't you think it's worse, though, from a guy like Danny Gargan, so that many chances, short prices. Guys like Danny Gargan, they win. Danny Gargan's a guy who wins when his horses are supposed to win.
But, I mean, look, Dubek missed by that much.
The guy who needed the two people who needed the horse for $250,000. That was the race that caused the carryover in late June. That was that big carryover that started on the 26th. How quickly you forget. I'm not saying she can't win. She could win. Winifred J ran probably a better race than her last time. Jeremiah Engelhart claimed Winifred J to 5. He's 1-for-26 off the claim on turf. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You do now. I picked Zip It Jess, who's actually scratched out of the race that those two come out of. Zip It Jess races a 2-year-old, is almost good enough to compete here, and now comes back as a 3-year-old first time out. I'm taking the 10 over the 5 and 6. I didn't really see a lot interesting in this race, unless you want to throw the 1, the first time starter, an amazing 0.
I mentioned on the handicapping show earlier, I didn't notice until Mike, who was in with me, mentioned Zip It Jess, and I was looking. Jim Doyle, buddy of mine, used to do TV with Jim years ago.
Really?
I see him about once a year, and last year when I saw him was before the third place finish for Zip It Jess last year, which was a nice turf start that I think is worth taking a little bit of an extra look at. But our buddy Steve Bick with Minute Mouse also in there.
I like Steve Bick. He's a lovely person.
And I will also say, I said it on the, and you will appreciate it, I think. I said, you have the parlay today with Candy Graham from Mongo earlier and Abby Normal.
Abby Normal, I like that. That's good. That's good. When Frau Blucher ran first time at Aqueduct, we showed the video of Frau Blucher from Young Frankenstein. And I was mad at myself when Abby Normal debuted that I didn't have the Abby somebody.
I had him play the audio when I was doing the handicap report for Frau Blucher.
I should get that. I should have told him to get that for the TV show later today. Abby somebody.
For folks that aren't familiar, check out a little Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks fans.
Put an Abby Normal into YouTube. Just put Abby Normal into YouTube or your Young Frankenstein or whatever.
Well, my all-time favorite scene is when he says he's going to go into the cell. Don't let me out of the cell. Whatever I say, don't let me YouTube that. It's very good as well.
And
put the candle. There are a bunch from Young Frankenstein. But Andy, appreciate the visit this morning. Again, you and the whole team, great job on Fox MSG, but also the pregame show and prior to the races.
I appreciate your support with At the Post as well. You guys at Capital have been great supporters of mine. I appreciate that and everything you do. I wish I could see your show more often. I used to be home longer so I could watch, and now I have to be there at the meeting, so I don't get to see it very often.
You but, too.
Yeah. Because I have a lot of free time after the races.
Andy Serling, New York Racing Association. Again, appreciate the visit. Continued success at the meet. All right, we'll take our last break. We'll come back, wrap things up on this Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baba. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We'll wrap things up. I will do it by hitting you with some promos. First, keep in mind that I think the next couple of days, actually, here at the racetrack, yeah, it's today and tomorrow, Saratoga giveaway sale. So extras from this year's giveaways and giveaways from previous years as well, today and tomorrow, out by the Big Red Spring. So keep that in mind. If you didn't get some of this year's giveaways and you want to pick one up, you can swing out by the Big Red Spring today and tomorrow while supplies last on those. It's also Italian and Irish-American Day over on the front side today. So keep that in mind. Tomorrow, of course, the low roller. I will remind you about that tomorrow as well. That's here at the racetrack. Clubhouse Racebook today, Prize Wheel Day. Keep that in mind. Swing on down 711 Central Avenue in Albany and get your chance to spin the prize wheel. That's today, Clubhouse Racebook. Tomorrow, there's a Beat the Handicapper online contest. Check out the website for your shot at participation. And Friday, it's a Fan Appreciation Day at the Catskill Mountain Lodge Branch. That's located in Palinville. That'll run from noon until 5. Catskill Mountain Lodge Branch, Friday for a Fan Appreciation Day. Friday's also Bonaventure Stables Day at the Clubhouse Racebook. The first 50 folks get a win bet on River of Dreams, the Bonaventure horse that's running on Friday, and also a Bonaventure giveaway item. Should be a lot of fun Friday at the Clubhouse Racebook, and also the Bounty Bet returns on Friday as well. There's also a Pick 5 bankroll, late Pick 5 bankroll. Mike Callahan will have the late Pick 5 bankroll. Should I move over? I think our camera, I think my one shot just... Friday, that late five bankroll, check the website for your shot at participating in that $1,000 OTB Live bankroll on Saturday. Again, check the website for your participation, your shot to participate at that as well. So CapitalOTB.com. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. I feel like everything's off kilter. I'm going to fall off the side of the set here because I'm weighting things down with nobody there. But again, it looks like a camera there kind of fritzed out a little bit. I think the power situation may have had a little bit of a problem. But we're making it work. So I'm going to wrap things up, however, because it is time to end this edition of Racing Across America. Thanks to our guests, Sean Clancy, Jack Knowlton, and, of course, Andy Serling. Thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget, we're here at the last week, and I say this the last week every year. We would love to hear from you. Viewer mail at CapitalOTB.com, or you can check out and send us a note on Twitter or on Facebook, CapitalOTB. We would love to hear from you as far as the programming. If you have a thumbs up, we'd love to hear that, because I get a lot of great feedback on the front side, but our guys in the technical side of things don't get to hear that. So, you know, if you like the shows, let them know. Love to have you say via viewer mail or Twitter or Facebook what I hear, as I say, plenty of times in the afternoon over on the front side, so everybody in the control room can hear as well. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Again, if you'd like to see things changed up next season or things you really like, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Viewer mail at CapitalOTB.com. Wrapping things up on this Wednesday morning, back in tomorrow morning with Handicappers Report at 9, more Racing Across America at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.